Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report live. I am the big guy, Ryback, joined by Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc., WrestlingInc.com. Raj, what's going on?
Not much. Kind of a chill week, but enjoyed Thanksgiving. We split it up into two, so we have Thanksgiving number two tonight. But yeah, cool. It's going well. How about yourself?
Doing well also. Had happy to hear that you had a good Thanksgiving. I'm jealous you get two of them. That's this is my holiday. Had my first vegan Thanksgiving. It was actually every bit as good, believe it or not. All the food the same, the green bean casserole, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, the stuffing. If you would have put somebody now outside of the, they had this celebrity roast turkey, or celebration turkey, it was called, which is supposedly the best one out of all of them. And it was, I got to tell you, and to quote myself from Ryback TV, Raj, it blew my balls off. It was so good. No, but it was, it doesn't obviously, it's nothing is the exact same as turkey or anything, the meats, but it was delicious. So,
what was like the main course?
The turkey, the stuffing, the green bean casserole. We had a coleslaw, cranberry.
Gotcha.
Trying to think, with broccoli, also some vegetables, salad, pickles, olives, the whole smorgasbord of the standard Thanksgiving. Gotcha. And then the vegan pumpkin pie, which I'm actually going to be doing a Ryback TV video with on my cheat day on Sunday. So nice. I held it together yesterday, just a normal meal, nothing too crazy. So
nice. Very cool. Well, awesome. Well, it kind of a slower news week this past week. You know, The Undertaker, he had his final farewell at Survivor Series this past Sunday. Obviously, that's not going to be his final farewell. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, do the Hall of Fame speech. Do you think, I mean, it was the 30-year anniversary to that day that he debuted the character on WWE television. You think they should have held off the farewell until they had fans, or was just it too perfect with it being 30 days to the day?
No, I think Vince is a great businessman, regardless of my personal feelings on certain things. So what they're doing, and I promise you, that's not the last time we're going to see The Undertaker. And what's going to happen is that was a way to capitalize on the 30th anniversary and get that. The moment there are people back, there will be another farewell. There's not, we all know, like I know it. There's no way they're not going to.
Right.
And there's no way you're not going to, Vince, an opportunity comes up, and even if they don't market it as a farewell, but it's an Undertaker appearance, it will be a farewell with the crowd, the reception, and especially after this past year. So I think it was a smart business move, capitalizing on that. You would be silly not to. Now, did you have to say the farewell necessarily? Maybe not. You could have just been celebrating 30 years, but I think it gives it that extra special feel, and it's like the retiring in wrestling. You know, it's the least respected retirement of all the sports. It never holds true. So, which is why I never went that route, because I already know it's not true. So, and I can't do it. But I think we're going to see him again.
Yeah, and you know he's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, and like with the Warrior when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame, he had the Hall of Fame speech. He showed up at WrestleMania, and then he showed up on Raw doing the speech. So I could definitely see that happening once there are fans in the stands, and that. You know, with all the vaccine talk, it looks like they are planning WWE that after WrestleMania, they'll be back to, you know, running shows with fans again and starting with WrestleMania.
Great news on that front. We just, again, it's all going to, I think everyone's just, it's a sit back and wait approach on what's going to happen, what's going on with the election, with everything. Right. There's a lot of uncertainty on all this, but I mean, in the vaccine, regardless, you know, I'm never taking the vaccine. You can't pay me enough to take that thing. But for the people that feel they need it and to get the world operating under somewhat normal circumstances once again and get people back to work, I'm for whatever's going to get that situation back.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are. So it's good news for wrestling because it's not the same without people. And again, this is a testament. Pro wrestling without a crowd is the hardest of everything to do. All the sports entertainment without a crowd, because it's so intertwined with that. it's such a huge part of the business. It's not the same. Wrestling without a crowd is not the same.
Right.
And it makes it really hard. And for the talent, it's just a testament to the talent going out there on all the organizations on how well they've done. And I feel like everybody's really stepped up their game, as awkward as it was at first. I feel like everyone's comfortable now in the situation. And now we're seeing some people back, and WWE has the Thunderdome. But wrestlers are amazing talents.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Berry Sr. in the chat saying he gives credit to WWE for the Thunderdome concept. And absolutely, those shows were dying before they introduced the Thunderdome.
And they took what other sports were already kind of doing and they made it their own. They made it, and it works. And I'll give it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of all the shows airing right now, that is the closest to feeling like pre-COVID of all the shows. There was a positive COVID test in Impact Wrestling. And a few Impact wrestlers were notified that they needed to get checked due to that positive test, but they were not told who the positive was, and other people in the company were not notified. So some of the wrestlers were upset about hearing the news, you know, backstage from other wrestlers through backstage gossip. And the wrestler who tested positive was believed to be part of a group of several people who all traveled together and are tight with each other. Impact, they do not do actual COVID testing at their tapings. They do temperature checks, which is what... Yeah. Same thing that WWE was doing for a long time until they got a wave of positive COVID tests, and then they switched to actual COVID testing.
Yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that. I just, you know, but it's like, I'm not sure on the financial status of Impact. If they have a little bit of money, I'm not really, the only thing and this is from a business, I have nothing against Impact or anything. I'm happy they exist. I have friends that work there. But the only reason not to be running COVID tests would be a financial reason. Mm-hmm. Being that they're on TV and they have the roster, some of the people that I presume they're paying decent at least,
right.
I would think they would have the means to do that. Again, temperature checks are better than nothing, but those have shown not to be as effective as actual COVID tests, actually.
Right.
And then I think this... with a situation like this, I just think you got to be transparent. It's why can't the talent know who had it?
Right.
That's to me, I don't understand that unless it's different though. If the talent, for whatever reason, I guess if for whatever reason, a talent didn't want people to know that they had it, but still from a work standpoint, you would, you know, you'd want to be able to if you have a concern, you know, if you're showing up to those Impact tapings and then going home and you're around your 96-year-old grandmother who might be susceptible.
Right.
Because I'm not – the virus is real. It's not – there are people – so there's certain precautions that for the majority of us, though, I think we brush it off, whatever. But it's for those people that are – that's the only thing where I can think of. But hopefully, man, they learn from it and maybe they become a little more transparent with it moving on.
Yeah, absolutely. So Aleister Black, he's been off WWE television since October, the October 12th episode of Raw. He was moved to SmackDown, has yet to make an appearance on the Blue Brand. So a lot of people were wondering if this has anything to do with Zelina Vega's release. And apparently it doesn't. It's just one of those things that Vince McMahon is not high on Aleister Black. Paul Heyman was, which is why he was getting the big push. And actually at one point in time, when they were trying to decide who would face Brock Lesnar for the WWE championship this past April at WrestleMania, he was one of the names considered, himself and Drew McIntyre. And obviously a lot's changed since then, and apparently Vince just doesn't see much in Aleister Black.
I could see that being the case. Vince gets really weird with things on all this, and in that company it's a weird thing. If Vince would have loved him, then there would have been like the people there trying to convince Vince that he sucks. Like that's the game that goes on. But then if Vince doesn't like you and you got other people that do, then they're pushing for him. And Paul obviously liked him. You know, I look back, and this is watching as a wrestler and watching from the outside looking in, that when he debuted and everything from his entrance to his theme song and to, I thought he was getting good reactions early on up there. I go, man, this guy has potential that if they can stick with this, that he could be a big time star in pro wrestling. And it's not my look. It's not my thing. it's not my style necessarily that, as a fan, but watching it, I recognize, I go, there's money in this that one way or another. So it's odd to me that how that this whole thing has transpired with his push getting taken away, essentially, when Paul fell out of that position, and how that he's at least not sustained. I mean, the story actually makes sense that Vince isn't high on him. That's the only, because if Vince was, he would still be being used in a certain position at least. And it is, the things that have happened have been, as a talent, it sucks because there's so much potential there. And that Zelina Vega thing doesn't help.
Right.
People got to understand too. WWE is not going to come out, but yes, it's connected. Mm-hmm. Do you think Hunter's going to get on a conference call? But no, absolutely. You know, the perception about him with his wife is not good, and we're going to punish him further. No,
right.
That shit they do in the back, and then they just do it in weird ways. I don't see the relationship. I'm not there. I can't speak on what's going on. And it's never a good thing if you're married to someone there and they get fired for certain reasons. And we've seen them carry on things. I could tell you with Curtis Axel, Joe Henning from Ribs, his father played, or for what Hunter thought about his dad, like that stuff carries over generations.
Right.
You don't think like they're going to like the husband, wife there say like, oh hell yeah, they're going to, it all figures in. So.
Yeah. It is always interesting because you see it on TV when you see all of a sudden someone who is being pushed, getting all these wins, and all of a sudden they start beating them like a drum. And I guess, I mean, you were kind of in that boat where, you know, you're getting this heavy push and all of a sudden they're just beating you. Do they tell you like, hey, this is a message being sent, you need to do this, or have you heard other wrestlers when they're getting that push and all of a sudden they aren't? Are they ever told what they need to do different or why they're not being pushed anymore? It's just a surprise.
It's lies. And so I remember specifically to give you this story, and my punishment, and I went in, which Vince was adamant that he goes, it's not a punishment, but it was. So when I got taken out of that, the main event position, it happened where we did the switch and then it was put in the top heel position at first with Cena. And then started transitioning into the bully. I got the win over Jericho. So things were still, I was still being used in a top position, but the downgrade started after the bully transition, which went well, to then it was that was going really well, finally getting heat. That, I was told, is coming to an end. I go, what? And they go, yeah, you're going back with Heyman. This was random. And because his run with Axel was running out and he needed someone to feud with Punk for two or three more pay-per-views to keep Paul figured in to that top storyline. After that played its course, that's when we just were told that you and Axel are now a team. And that's when the demotion started. But even in that, I was always protected. Axel took 99.9% of the pinfalls on that. If you ever go back and watch, I took maybe a handful in that whole year of whatever it was. But I remember specifically going to Vince, and this was at the end of the Punk thing. Punk was burying me really bad that I did not know about at this time, because Punk was never had that vibe with me. So this was all – I remember Vince just getting worse, more and more and more upset. I don't know what to do with you. I don't know if to send you back to NXT. And I literally said to him, I go, fucking send me back to NXT then. Do it. And literally to his face. And he just stopped. He goes, well, I don't want to do that. And I go, well, don't fucking tell me that. And that these things were recorded, how these conversations with these people. But I didn't know what Punk was telling them. But and I even said to Vince, I go, I want to know why you guys are punishing me. And Vince was like, we're not punishing you. There's never – and this is just all a lack of being a man on anyone in a top position in WWE – communication is key in life. They lack communication skills. Why wouldn't you tell a talent you're invested in, that especially one that's making you a lot of money and that you're using and investing a lot in, that exactly what the problem is? And then you can fix that problem. That's what adults do. It's not an organization ran by adults. So whenever there's problems or wrestlers have quote unquote heat, they never tell you. They lie to you. They actually tell you there's no issues. You know, if Vince during my thing would have told me, Ryback, here are the issues. CM Punk is coming to me expressing these things. Fantastic. Let's get Punk in here. Let's have a conversation and call that little bitch out on all his lies. And then you can see I'm the real man of the group here and realize, and then we can fix the issues. right? If we're going to fight, we're going to fight, but we can fix the issues. They don't do that, though. So you're never certain of what's going on. And that's all talents there on anything. If you do something wrong, they don't tell you. Maybe somebody was smart and that cares about you will come and like, maybe you should try doing this or this. But if you go to them and like, look, is there an issue? If there is, I really would like to work on this. I would like to be better. You know, hey, is this going on? It doesn't happen. That's a major problem in the organization as a whole with that. And why you see the stop and starts, and it's on top right. of the business model being piss poor, they don't communicate. And that stems from Vince, because Vince doesn't know how to communicate. He only knows how to lie. Mm-hmm. And that's done on purpose too, to control things and to create, he likes to create that fear mentality and environment, and they breed that fear, and it gets passed down all the way to developmental. And I've lived it. Like, it's so,
yeah,
it's something that needs to be better, Raj. And it doesn't need to exist. You know, if you're, you know, you try to, for sports, you know, if you're not performing and you're the starting running back, you know, you're going to be told exactly what you need to be doing. Like, look, you need to start performing. You need to do this, this, and this. And then if you don't, we're going to take you out of this. They don't do this. And this is speaking for WWE solely. And it's frustrating because it doesn't need it. It's all just a lack of communication. It's all mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're kind of seeing it now. I mean, time will tell, but Lars Sullivan was getting that huge monster push, and then he did a pretty bad promo, which I think it was more how it was scripted than his, you know, himself. And then all of a sudden he's not on being used on TV.
I was going to ask you about him because I haven't seen him on anything. I was unaware of this.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no official word, but I mean, that's probably the reason, you know, usually when they lose interest in somebody, that's kind of what happens.
Well, they had him, though, squashing, I mean,
yeah,
the top talent,
right,
on TV before and coming back again.
Right. And then he did that promo, and it just seemed to me, this is not anything that's been out there. It's just my opinion. It just seemed to me that promo probably, maybe didn't go over well backstage, and they just kind of pulled him.
What
he hasn't been on TV.
Was this on SmackDown?
Yeah, this was on SmackDown. It was like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And he was talking about how he was bullied as a kid.
I heard Conan and Keeping It 100 actually talking about this, that they thought it was a little screwed up, that they were having him actually, because he does have psychological issues to a degree.
Right.
And he's had counseling and had issues, and then they're kind of putting him in that role on TV of acknowledging the problems, right?
Right, yeah.
And which is great storyline if you're doing something with it, but then all of a sudden to do that and then to you know, there could be something to that where he does that and then he goes and, look, I'm not comfortable doing this, guys.
Right.
And then now it's, okay, you're off TV until we're going to figure out, maybe they're finding something different. That's a very realistic scenario right there, just hearing this for the first time. If a guy, because you show up and sometimes you're like, this is what you're doing, and you go do it, and then you do it, and then you're not comfortable. And then if you went and actually said something, then it's like, well, they got to just pull it. And then I don't know, though. Yeah. But, you know, there's money. Lars Sullivan, again, there's money with him in a degree. But I'm saying this strictly. Pro wrestling is the last business you need to be in if you have any mental issues, regardless, anxiety, anything. It's the last, Raj, the last business. Like, you have to have thick skin in pro wrestling on every aspect, especially in the WWE land. You know, I think AEW, and the way that it's a friendlier environment, I feel like it's where some of that carny stuff doesn't apply. But in the land of WWE, right, man, they could eat you alive. And times have changed, obviously, over the last, even since I've left. But I don't know, man. I just feel he's been an interesting story from day one.
Yeah.
But there's something fascinating about the guy. When he's on TV, I stop and I watch what he does.
Absolutely.
So that's me watching it from the outside, not being there. And so if I'm doing that, I go, you know, that there's a good chance that there's a lot of other people doing that. But you got the thing with wrestling is you got to be able to stay on TV and get its consistency week after week. And it can take years.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I'm pulling for him, though. I like both him and Aleister, man.
Yeah,
everyone. I'm pro wrestlers. Like I want them all to thrive and have success. And it sucks when you see that, because I've lived it at the highest level. You know, I've been on both ends of it. So
Yeah, and plus Ryback, with Lars, he's kind of a throwback to, you know, the little larger than life. You can't help but watch him. You know, he really stands out. And you know, there's not a lot of that in wrestling today. So no. I'm pulling for him too. Elizabeth Fox saying the Lars promos have been bad. He does not need a backstory because he is a monster. He could be the next Brock Lesnar if they allowed it to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Lars is a guy. And that it's very tough in that WWE scripted promo environment, you know. I don't think his promos, I haven't seen enough of it, but maybe it's a case where where it's a guy like that having an Armando Estrada type, somebody, I'm just a manager, someone in a managerial position, you know, a Numaga where he isn't really. I think Lars is at his best not speaking.
Right. I agree.
And because it is so, he has that look. And there's something just when you that you want to protect that and keep that mystery. And not everybody has the, you know, I was blessed. I have a deep, heavy voice. I feel like I can play that. I'm not 7 feet tall, but when I speak, I have a booming voice. It fits for that identity doing that. Not everyone necessarily has that. You know, hell, Brock doesn't have.
Right.
Which Brock doesn't speak a lot. It wasn't because it takes it away a little, but he's such a dominant character. He's the most dominant character ever in wrestling with that, where it makes up for it. But you see, my thing is with wrestlers too, with that is rather than everybody, not everybody has to be a five tool player. Yes, we all want to be, but if the business was okay, we have this guy can make us money over time. Well, you know, a Bret Hart, he'll get better with promos over time. We'll work with them at things. We'll give them live events or whatever, whenever you can. And eventually in 5 years, maybe he's able to hold his own on the promo end. I'm not saying he can't now, but for whatever reason, the connection, the monster thing is so strong. Let's protect that and let's build him up and let's protect him. And maybe that's something they do, you know, but that's, you know, being a business model of making everybody a star. That's how I look at it. And if I'm in that creative meeting, I go, wait, let's not knock the guy and punish him. Let's work on this. Let's protect this. This guy has something to offer. He's money on all these other things. Let's just protect this.
Right.
Let's give somebody an opportunity to do the talking for him. We got another star. We're making more money now on action figures and other things. It doesn't always work like that.
Absolutely. Michael Berry Sr. saying, put Lars Sullivan with Heyman and he's a main event heel.
The only reason I didn't say Heyman is because it's – you will get the Brock comparisons with that. And not that that's a bad thing. And it's not at all. You know, if there's a storyline where Heyman does go with him and that, you know, in a year from now, that returns a babyface Brock Lesnar to feud with him.
Right.
Fantastic. At least we have a goal with doing it. Right. But oftentimes there won't be. And that's the problem.
Yeah. And I'd like to see more, you know, more guys in that role other than just Heyman. And AEW does that well, where they're bringing in Jake Roberts or old wrestlers who can cut a promo. Taz is a perfect example. And they kill it on the mic.
And Taz's group is becoming one of the highlights of AEW.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I thought at first it was going to kind of – it was. I thought it was just him and Cage. And when Starks got thrown in, it was almost to me like, it didn't feel right at the time, but they have come into their own and then adding Powerhouse Hobbs to that. Because the fact of the matter is Cage can't talk. Mm-hmm. Cage shouldn't talk. Like he's not capable of cutting good promos. Not right now. And this isn't it's protected, right? Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks, though, is coming into his own now with this. Where I'm looking at Ricky, I go, man, he's getting some momentum now. And all of a sudden, the whole group has been elevated. And adding him and Hobbs as the muscle and Starks as the little dog running his mouth.
Right.
And Starks isn't like super small, but he's smaller. There's something there to it. And Taz is really, really comfortable in that position. Like, I think they should take Taz off of Dark and just leave Taz to protect that identity on the show even further.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, Starks, I mean, he's dressing like The Rock now. I don't know if you noticed that on. But he carries himself like a star. Like he's not acting. Like that's how he really is. And he's confident. And That's the thing you don't see a lot nowadays. So,
and I think too, it's I hate saying when we make comparison, it is though the attire that he's wearing is very that period, very rock like, which right. it's. But for whatever reason, it works with him.
Yeah,
it looks like he dresses like an asshole.
Right,
like yeah. it very like, but he's carrying that persona at all times, and he's taken it over to social media more now. And I go, he's on to something with yeah. that, and they're allowing him the opportunity to speak. But so this is the cool thing about AEW is, so this is something that just kind of organically they put them together. This could have went a million different ways, but. Mm-hmm. Starks took the opportunity and found a role for himself. And now what is AEW doing? They're running with the momentum, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what pro wrestling used to be, rather than like, wait a second. No, let's just kill this right now. We don't want to see this. We weren't trying to do this right. Where it's a different. And to me, I go, now we're seeing, this is what I always talk to you about. We're seeing the creation of a star.
Right.
Possibly. He had a lot of things have to go right for this to happen
right.
very early on. But we yeah. are seeing the creation of a star where, and there aren't the fans there necessarily right now, but where there will be eventually, it's going to only amplify everything. But that is the major difference in the business models of WWE and AEW and why it's more exciting and why I think their fan base is going to continue to grow if they allow this, keep yeah. allowing it. So.
Absolutely. Terry Allen Jr. with the $3 super chat saying WWE's audio is exactly the same every week with no variety. I think he means it's like the promos and stuff.
Yeah.
And that is one of the that is one of the criticisms of WWE. Chris Jericho, he was on Conan's podcast and he talked about WWE promos versus AEW and the comedy and how the comedy differs between the two. Jericho said, "My view of comedy is you always play it straight. WWE comedy is penis and fart jokes. That's why a lot of it doesn't work well. Don't try to be funny, because when you try to be funny, it's never funny." And that's been my attitude with all their segments that he's been doing with MJF.
Yeah. And that, again, that's Vince humor and what Vince, you know, likes. And, but it's, everything is so heavily scripted in that environment. You can't script funny. It's funny has to be improv in a lot of ways. It has to be something that just act and react. You know, and
right. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on
your
podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
When somebody, you know, it's like when WWE and they write the lines that are like sucker and succotash that they think is going to get a funny reaction. It's just like it's cringeworthy. And I've been a part of it. And but all you can do as a performer is just you read it. You know, me and Curtis Axel, great example of this. Almost everything we did, it was on .com and backstage. We did our matches on TV, but all our stuff was all improv, and it was some of the funniest stuff I've ever done. That, and I feel everybody, the production, everybody was laughing all the time. because it was just us being silly and acting, and we didn't give a shit what was going on. And it was, but we wished it could have been on TV, but if it would have been, it would have been the same, because we would have had papers telling us exactly what to say, and we wouldn't have been able to just to freeball it, so to speak. And where, and Chris is spot on that. And, you know, funny happens just organically out there, and acting and reacting with facials, and you can't write that. And that's the problem. That's in the WWE is very, very bland in that regard, and not the talent, but the fact that you're trying to just write this show, and the owner of the show is not in tune with today's audience at all.
Right.
It's just a great businessman. He knows how to make money in wrestling anyways, but not connected to what is going on in the world. You know, do you think Vince knows who Cardi B is?
No, definitely not.
You think Vince has no clue what WAP is? Like, it's like he's just completely clueless. So yeah. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Did you happen to watch the Survivor Series?
I caught parts of it. I watched, I think, the Roman Drew match, which I really, really, really enjoyed that. And I saw something else. What I see? I can't recall, but I saw a small part of it.
Okay. Yeah. Because 420 Express was asking what your thoughts are on Lana winning the Survivor Series match.
I did see that actually with part of the Lana thing. And, you know, I think it's like we said, her character isn't being built up as far as being this dominant female wrestling character, but she's being highlighted and featured, and she's getting great heat. Lana's a smart girl, smart woman, and as is Miro. And Lana came out recently and talked about like the social media stuff,
right?
And I don't know the exact specifics of that, but the moment you come in WWE, you're getting a lot of hate. So I find it hard to believe that the hate she's getting is anything new, because we all get it the moment, whether you're babyface or heel, you get it. But I do think she's brilliant enough to play that up and get even more heat as she's getting, because she's a thick-skinned woman on that. If she is having issues, I truly sympathize with her, because I understand the how horrible it can be to see that stuff with people when you're acting. But she really, really embraces that actress role. And I think she does a fantastic job at getting people not to like her. Yeah. That is how she plays on TV. And she's being used. So, and again, this is one of those things. Now, if they did this to her and just destroyed her and put her through a table, then took her off TV for 8 months, then fired her, bad.
Right.
But if you're just used and go from TV from role to role to role, not bad.
Okay. Yeah. But it did seem like they did that Survivor Series finish at, you know, for comedy, as opposed to, you know, they could have got someone like a Bianca Belair over by winning the match, actually winning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
it depends what route you're going, though. Lana, though, has a great social media following. Mm-hmm. WWE would be wise to continue to use her. Yeah. And she would be wise, just keep growing her social media. Her social media does really, really well, as most women do.
Right.
They have it different than men on especially the picture stuff on, because they could play that up more on there. But she goes all out on social media and hustles. So it's not a bad idea doing stuff with her on TV. You know, we could always go what route, you know, let's make somebody, but there's 10 matches a night. You're going to make somebody somewhere else. So it just depends. You know, a lot of fans they're at least probably thrilled she got a win.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Speaking of which, we've been talking about the Bella Twins and how they've been kind of teasing, wanting to return to WWE and go after the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. They noted during an interview on the Tamron Hall show that they do plan to eventually return to WWE, but not anytime soon. They said it'll probably be a year or two. They'd like to see their boys be like 2 years old so they can actually probably remember. Well, actually, they wouldn't remember at 2 years old, but being able to watch them, you know, when they're old enough.
Yeah.
So they're not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, no, and a lot can change, especially for I don't know, what are their exact ages now? They're not old.
Yeah. I forget. I think they're just in their 30s.
But I mean, for women having children, they can, a lot can change. 37. They can get, yeah, and they can get pregnant again. You never know. Right. Like with it, it's one of those things. It's they have a massive following, though. And, you know, I'm sure that if an opportunity presents itself to them and they're able to get in the shape and come back, that, you know, there'll be an opportunity for them. But a lot can change in a couple of years. So,
yeah, absolutely. Seth Rollins is off of TV for the near future. Him and Becky, she's fast approaching her due date. And Seth said she's doing really well and that this kind of COVID kind of, you know, it kind of helped them out in the sense that he had the much lighter schedule during the pandemic and got to spend a lot more time with Becky during her pregnancy. So he's going to be off TV for a little bit, but my guess is he'll probably be back by Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and well-deserved, and congratulations to both of them, both great, great, great individuals and people, human beings. They and definitely that schedule. He went hard for a long time, and he had the knee injury eventually there after the Shield and when he turned heel, and then, but he came back and overcame it, and then he was running red from, you know, until COVID again. As far as he's been, him and Roman have been the two guys figured in, and Roman had, you know, the leukemia reoccurrence where he was off of TV for a bit. And but Seth has been going, man, and he's from the days of the Shield, and you know him and Dean and Roman early on was the muscle, and Roman pulled his weight, more than pulled his weight, but Seth was running hard, and I've worked with him many times, and I'm happy to see him get a break, and I hope with, like I said with WWE, I hope they never go back to live events like they did. For any, yeah. In being out of it and those talent getting to see that that's not the way life has to be anymore. It's, I think family is so important in being able to spend time with people, and all of that gets thrown out of that old WWE schedule, and it's not worth it, man.
Yeah. Former WWE light heavyweight champion Gilbert, also known as Dwayne Gill, which is his real name. James Ellsworth revealed on Twitter that he had a heart attack this week. He had a heart attack on Wednesday, but he said that he is doing good now and he got out of the ICU. So,
man, how old is Gilbert now?
I want to say he's
50s.
Yeah, I would say 50s for sure. I mean, he was a job guy back in, so 61. He's 61.
Oh, wow. 61. So yeah. No, that's unfortunate, and I'm happy to hear that he's seems to be recovering well, but it's something. The heart issues are very serious, and, you know, a lot of people, that's why in going, I tell everyone I learned from different doctors, go get every man, once you're in your 30s, you know, should go get a coronary artery calcium score, and I follow that up with a full heart panel and to see it, because oftentimes wrestlers were the worst at this, which when I left there, I forced myself to face any issues that I had. And I go, quit letting fear run my life. But oftentimes, if you have an issue, you don't even want to think about it because you're like, well, I don't want to know about it, because then you have to face it. And it might take you out of the game for a while or whatever. But our hearts, you know, heart issues can oftentimes be remedied with diet changes if you catch it early enough. Or with smoking or tobacco use and these things. But oftentimes we put them off, and then all of a sudden, this isn't saying for him this was the case, I don't know. But like then all of a sudden you'll have a heart attack and it comes out of nowhere. That's why I'm very, very an advocate of going and getting heart tests done on that, especially wrestlers, and knowing what your issues are. And then it gives you a little bit of protection to wear, because once something gets bad enough, you know, eventually, if you got to have the surgery or valve replacement, or it's scary stuff, man. So I hope he nothing but love and a quick recovery. And it's unfortunate to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So at least the good news, he's saying Gilbert is doing much better, as according to James Ellsworth. So
very good.
Now, finally, we don't have AEW and NXT ratings yet. I would guess just because of Thanksgiving that they're both probably going to be down. And then next week is going to be the biggest episode of Dynamite in their history, as far as, you know, the heavily advertised Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega match.
Yeah.
How do you think that one goes?
They're doing it on TV. I would say it could be used as part of me thinks it's going to be a 50-50 answer, but it depends on, I wouldn't be shocked if they put the title on Omega on Dynamite with a huge title change. And this isn't comparing it to, it's just using it for comparison's sake. But I remember when they did the, you know, Goldberg Hogan on TV back, and I was in Mesa, Arizona, yeah, at a baseball tournament. This has nowhere near the ratings or anything like that. But from a standpoint of the company, with Omega being one of the key pieces that didn't get used it necessarily up front in a featured singles role, even though he's been used, I feel done well the entire time, but in done things and help build talent up, this could be his big moment now. And then you could always do the rematch with John chasing the title at one more at the pay-per-view, the next pay-per-view, or this is a way to maybe get three out of it with them where Moxley gets the win, but there's something, there's some unanswered questions, and you carry it on, and you go two or three pay-per-views with it, where you do the second where Omega wins, and maybe the rematch with Moxley for a third, and get a real true three pay-per-view run out of this if there's a good enough story. So right. I don't know what route they want to go on that. None of that would surprise me. I think it is a good opportunity, though, to do a big title win on TV that could spike a rating now, and you could still get two or three out of it possibly. So it just depends on what route they want to take. But it feels like this is feels like Omega, it's going to be his time. Moxley's had a pretty good run.
Right. So. Yeah. I think it opens up a lot too with Omega having the belt as far as potential challengers. So
I agree. It's exciting though. The fact is I going into this, I don't know what way that what way they will go with it, which is always the good thing. It will make you want to tune in, and I think that rating is going to do a strong rating overall.
Yeah, yeah,
they've hyped it up well.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really topped 1 million viewers head to head since they first started, but I can see this one doing over 1 million viewers overall. But we will see. Yeah. And speaking of which, ratings this past week. Good week for SmackDown. SmackDown did 2.33 million viewers on Fox. So it was the second best audience for the show since the WrestleMania episode. And their audience was only down 9% from the same week last year. So it's not as much of a drop year to year as the other wrestling shows. And it drew a 0.7 in the 18 to 49 demo, tied with a couple other episodes as the best rating in the demo since WrestleMania. So I think the Roman stuff's really working. I know Sasha and Bayley, they drew one of the highest ratings for their match a few weeks ago.
I was going to ask you that, what the big draws tend to be on SmackDown, which I know Sasha's been in, Bayley have been in that, and Roman.
Yeah, and Roman is kind of a lot of times throughout the show. You know, like he's just in one segment. But yeah, I mean, it's been, I don't know this past week exactly what the big draws were, but I do know that the Sasha and Bayley was one of the highest rated matches. It might have been the highest rated match of the year.
Yeah, and you keep featuring that, and that's good. They know that, and figuring those talents into the show. It's not never a bad thing, like being scattered throughout the show at multiple points. And I remember being in that. That's a good thing when they're doing that with you. And it's because it's keeping the rating consistent, where people don't tune out, where like, oh, Roman's been on, he's never going to be on for the rest of the night, we're going to leave. They keep people where, you know, they keep them hanging on. So
yeah,
SmackDown's been the star show for them.
Absolutely. By far.
And Fox too, watching football on yesterday and seeing, you know, even though the announcers, that's something Fox needs to do something. When the football announcers though, like have to do the read for the show with this, like SmackDown, they, man, cannot seem any less interested to me.
Right.
Like they literally let Michael Cole do his thing. They don't even say, they don't even follow it up with anything. It's like they're embarrassed.
Right.
That's not good. Like if you're Fox, like you want, then like you tell those guys, like say a line or two, you know, something after like a transition, not like just like, oh, we got to promote this wrestling shit, let's move on. Like that's what it came. I go, man, that was a poor, that's not what you want to see from the network, but.
Right.
That's the commentators. They're not fans of today's product, but
yeah.
So, but they get that plug at least on there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Even though there weren't any stakes at the Survivor Series, the Raw after Survivor Series got a little bump from the pay-per-view. It was actually up from last week 1.6%. And it did 1.78 million viewers. So that's actually, you know, if I said that a year ago, that would sound god awful. But in this modern era, that's that's pretty good for Raw. It's one of the best numbers it's done. Since the Thunderdome debuted in August, and the 0.57 rating in the 18 to 49 demo that it did is tied with the October 12th Raw as the second best rating since the Thunderdome premiered. So,
yeah,
up a little. Again, 1.8 million viewers, you know, compared to what it used to do, it's, you know, it's better than last
week. Yeah, I don't. The fall of Raw is I mean, it's the most noticeable of all of pro wrestling, where Raw used to be like I just feel like it was like you had to tune in to see what was going to happen. Right. There was going to be something, and that feeling has been gone for a long time now. So, though hopefully there will be when crowds are back, there needs to be a shakeup of some sorts. There needs to be something to get people invested in watching that show again. And I don't have the answer to that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, I mean, I think one thing is if they could find a way to create another hour and make Raw 2 hours and have a 1 hour show on the USA Network on like Friday or, you know, like Saturday or something. Yeah. Cause that third hour is just killer.
3 hours of anything every week is too much.
Yeah.
And you know, this is another thing, Raj, and it is, back when WCW did it, even that period, internet was around, right. and but it was nowhere. People didn't have the choices they have now.
Yeah.
So you have to adjust with the times.
Right.
And expecting somebody to be invested 3 hours every week is such a major, major commitment. It's one, it's hard to write. It's hard on all accounts. It's hard on, granted, the talent. Now, if you're only performing once a week, it's different on that standpoint. But if you're going to do the 3 hours, you have to have three great hours every week. Every week. And so it's – and they don't. And that's just the reality of the situation. And not everything's going to please to please everybody. It's never going to work that way.
Right.
But it's – it's tough, man, and it's really showing, and the numbers are reflecting that, and especially with no crowd, no surprises, and that element of wrestling is gone. It's
and the redundancy.
Why the drop has been as bad. Yeah.
They do the same matches week after week after week, or so much of the show is just the same thing as the week before, except maybe changing the winners a little bit, but it doesn't matter overall. So
you can't it's never been an easy task. You know, WCW back when they had a huge roster though too, I remember, and they would have they were able to do different things and not to say that it was great all the time, and I'm sure we can go back and be like, oh God, I don't remember that, but it's tough.
And even WCW, I don't know if you remember, but Nitro, they went back to 2 hours. Like, they were 3 hours for I think like a year before going back to two.
It wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be, you know, it would suck from the talent getting TV time.
Right.
But I mean, it would make the shows so much better, and it would give the cream of the crop, and it would take out some of the stuff that they're not pushing as much. So I don't know, man. Something has to change eventually, I would think. But if USA, for whatever reason, they want it, you do the best with it. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Well, that about does it for this week. It ended up being more newsworthy. I guess we had more news than I thought, but and I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving and everything.
Likewise, Raj. Thank you very much as always. Anything to plug to wrap up?
Keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. We have our big China feature this week, including interviews with her mother, her former manager who found her, who was in her apartment when she passed away. Answering questions like what he was doing in there. Dr. Drew, who was close with China, talking about, you know, some of the mental issues she was going with. So check out WrestlingInc.com. And also we had the Young Bucks recently, so we got an exclusive interview with them. And all the latest news and our podcast as well.
Good deal, Raj. Thank you. And guys, make sure to check out Feed Me More Nutrition, our 30%. Black Friday sale is going on here until the 29th, midnight Pacific. You can save 30% with discount code BLACKFRIDAY30 on Feed Me More shootingblanks.com for Feed Me More Nutrition. Thank you guys very much for listening. You've just listened to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed Me More.